Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish has been looking at verses 5 and 6 in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. And picking up where he left off yesterday, Pastor Brian was telling us that we're not to look inwardly to our own gifts and abilities and decide that because of those gifts and abilities that we will be in this ministry or that ministry, but that it's God who chooses us for a specific ministry, and he gives us the ability to accomplish what he's called us to do. So now let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Bottom line is God says, I want you, and he says, I don't want you because of who you are or because of your attributes. Because of your strength, because of your might, even for the entire nation, even told him, I didn't pick you because you guys were the strongest. Actually, you're kind of the weakest. And that's one of the reasons I picked you. You're smaller. So that God's glory would be manifested. God's choices, he makes some funny choices. I'll tell you that. You ever read through the gospel? I'm sure you have read, and you look at the apostles. Those guys were knuckleheads. I mean, they're with Jesus, and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They kind of scratch their head. They have a little meeting and think, we know what it means. He's mad that we didn't bring bread. What's that all about? It's Larry, Moe, and Curly, and Sleepy, and the rest of them. And the Lord hasn't had better choices since that time, amen? Let me read to you something from Arthur Pink, who wrote a commentary in the book of Joshua. He's trying to get at the heart of how a person could be strong and courageous, although we look inwardly and say, there's no courage there, there's no strength there. Why are you asking me to do something I can't? Why is God asking me to do something that I can't do? He addresses that issue. He says, granted, says the reader, but when you bid me be strong, you do but tantalize me, seeing that that is the very thing I desire to be, and yet am conscious I am not. But cannot you see that the fault is entirely your own, that your weakness and fear is due to your failure to mix faith with God's promises? What more do you want than what God has already said to you in Joshua 1 verse 5? If God be for you, who could be against you? Look away from yourself, from your enemies, from your difficulties, unto him who said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Count upon him, and he will change, he will display strength with, count upon him, and strength will displace weakness. So the Lord's not saying to you, be strong and courageous in your own self. He's saying, go out and do the tasks that I've given you to do. Joshua, bring these people over the land. You're going to be the one to disperse the inheritance. They're going to go in and possess it. Be strong and courageous in the call, in the tasks that I have set before you, because I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, how is Joshua going to know that? He's going to have to say, people, we need to cross the Jordan. I know it's flooded. God told me, tell the priests to go out there in front. And as soon as their feet touch the water, the Jordan's going to part. You got to admit, some of those guys back there must have been going, yeah, right, this guy's lost it. Let's go get a building with no money that costs $5 million. What's wrong with that guy? You know, I struggled at the beginning. It was all emotional and stressed out. Oh, you know, this is going to happen. And all these questions, and I just came to a point, I said, I'm not going to worry about it. God hasn't asked me to write a check for $5 million, asked me to believe him for it. And there I could be strong and courageous. Then I could face the future. Hey, God's going to supply. And I've just chosen not to believe anything different. Any negative report or bad report doesn't faze me, because I believe the Lord's in this. Now, how did I learn that? I learned that because we were sitting over in a school not too many years back, in junior high school. And this property came available, and we didn't have the money for the down payment, and we didn't have the money to make the payment that we negotiated with the church. Now, we didn't tell them that. We had to walk by faith. We had to step out. Well, we could have played it safe and say, well, let's just save up all that we need for that down payment. You know what? We'd still be there saving up for that down payment and move nowhere. Because the longer you save, the more the property value goes up, and we weren't getting anywhere. We were there for, I don't know, 7 years, and we hadn't saved up the down payment to get in when it was an opportunity. What would make us think we'd do it then? Let's just play it nice and safe. You can't play it safe in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's not for the weak. It's not for the doubting. It's not for the hesitant. It's not, oh, it'll never work, and all these obstacles, and there's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. That's the fact. They were like grasshoppers compared to these giant people. God said, I'm going to be with you. I won't leave you nor forsake you. Now go in there and take it. And that's a confidence. That's how you're strong. You're strong in receiving the promise of God. And that's how you walk in ministry, although you are not qualified for ministry. God qualifies you. I love the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. He's talking about that God's given us this ministry of reconciliation, the new covenant, in contrast to the old covenant. And he cries out, who's sufficient for such things? Then he says, not that our sufficiency comes from us, but it comes from God. And you know what? As you learn that, you do become strong and courageous in the things that God's called you to do, because you realize that strength is not coming from you, it's coming from God. And when you set your hand to that ministry that He's asked you to do, you see the Spirit of God flow out of your life and touch people. And you realize you have nothing to do with that. That's the power of God, and your confidence is in Him. And He does not disappoint. He doesn't lead you to the border of the promised land and say, go in and possess it, and then say, well, I was just kidding. I just wanted to see you fall on your face. I want to see you fail. That's not the God that we serve. He says, I'm going to stick with you. We just need to throw away all of our excuses, because God doesn't take any of them. We offer them, and God says, it's not good enough. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In our closing together, I want to look at three or four scriptures where God called somebody, and I want to look at how they responded. And I think you'll find some similarities, the things that we say to God as well. Look over in the book of Exodus, the call of Moses here in chapter 4. And here's where we have the burning bush speaking to Moses. You think that would be enough for him to say, I think God's going to do something here. It's burning and it's not consumed. And God basically tells him, you're going to go and destroy the Egyptians. That was called, just like Joshua. Go in there. No one's going to be able to stand against you. You're going to take the territory that belongs to you. Moses' response in chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Who is he afraid of? Afraid of man. Fear of man. What if they don't listen? What if they don't believe me that you spoke to me? Is that going to stop God just because these people didn't believe that God said, this is what I'm going to do? You're calling. You cannot consider what man will say, what man will think. It doesn't matter. Because God has not went around and asked people what they thought about your life. Should I appoint such and such to this task? He doesn't take surveys. He doesn't care what other people think. He just reaches down and says, you're the one that I want. Go do this. Whether people believe you or not, or trust in you, or have confidence in you, or resist, it doesn't matter. If God's called you, you just need to go for it. Look at verse 10 of the same chapter. Moses is having this dialogue with the Lord. Moses isn't getting anywhere. He's offering a lot of excuses, but God is saying, I don't take these excuses. Look at verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, do you think God sat up there and scratched his head and said, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that you couldn't speak good. I'm going to have to do something different here. Let me think. I mean, God doesn't think. He knows everything all the time. So by you telling God your weaknesses, it's not, God doesn't, oh, whoa, I didn't know that about you. Tell me a little more. God knows that about you, and he still calls you. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? God doesn't care if you're slow of speech. Where's the power in saying the exact right word in a sermon? The power comes from the Lord. I shared with you before, I tried to use this one on the Lord. All I knew was when I got saved, I had a burning compulsion on the inside to share God's word, but I was fearful. As I shared with you, and those that have been around me in smaller settings, I'm usually pretty quiet. I'm not the guy at the center talking with everybody. I'm just kind of a quiet, and that's my nature. And for God to set me before people and to speak, it's just the exact opposites. Now, something happens that when I'm in a group, I have a tendency to shy away and be kind of quiet. But if that group, no matter what size it is, has a pulpit and a Bible, I could go for it. I don't lack words. Actually, I cut every sermon short. I can keep going. But I know you can only take so much. We got another service coming, and you say, oh, praise the Lord. That's why I go that middle one. He's got to end sometime. But God says, I'm not going to take that.